Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Still talking about the various Supreme Court decisions that came down the pike. This time, though, I want to encourage you to join in the conversation. I spoke for the last couple days on my personal role in the marriage equality movement, but of course, there were other decisions other than the marriage equality decision that came down. One was King v. Burwell. That was a Supreme Court decision that said that the Affordable Care Act means to do what it was designed to do, and that is to give subsidies to people who can't afford health insurance. And the argument that it wasn't meant to do what it was designed to do was a new one based on a typo, based on a misprint or a badly drafted, perhaps the best way to describe it, a badly drafted piece of legislation. But the intent was clear, and the people made it clear. So obviously I agree with the decision upholding the Affordable Care Act. I certainly agree with the marriage equality decision. There's another decision, though, that came out that I disagree with, and it probably won't surprise you on that either. It was a decision that allows polluters to pollute the air, even though the Environmental Protection Agency said they could not. Now, the EPA was designed to protect the environment. That's why they call it the Environmental
Great
Protection
story.
Agency.
Start here.
That's very important. But basically they said that the EPA misruled in that it should have taken account of certain costs that it didn't take account of. You know, for all the fulmination about from the U.S. Supreme Court's conservatives, from Scalia and others, that, oh my God, the Supreme Court is usurping the people's views, and the people want to oppress gay people, and they don't want to give equal rights to gay people, and oh my God, they're claiming that the 14th Amendment, which grants equal protection under the laws to people, actually gives equal protection under the laws to people? That's wrong! That's jiggery-pokery! That's, whatever nonsense Scalia wrote. But when it comes to a very technical calculation of what air pollution should be allowed and shouldn't be allowed, exactly the kind of technical analysis where you would think that we would leave it to experts at an agency to decide, that's what Scalia says, nope, we need more pollution. Got to have more pollution. You got to consider the cost differently. It's like Scalia is saying, don't let minorities have rights. That's not important. But when you balance your checkbook, if you don't do it the way I say, that's what courts should overrule. It's fascinating the differences between liberals and conservatives on what we see the role of the U.S. Supreme Court to be. Liberals see the Supreme Court as the ultimate protector of minority rights against the tyranny of the majority. It's a term the founders have used, the tyranny of the majority. In other words, when the majority of the people say something, do something to take away an individual's rights, even though it's democratically done, you've got to stand up for the individual when it comes to basic human rights. Indeed, that's exactly what the Bill of Rights was all about, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, protecting freedom of speech and religion and your rights if you're accused of a crime. Right to a jury trial, all those kinds of things weren't in the original Constitution, and a number of the people who opposed the original Constitution said we got to protect individual rights, even when the majority wants them. The classic, clearest case, of course, is the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, the amendment that occurred after the Civil War, that was designed to protect the newly freed slaves, to give them all the full rights of citizenship. So, the idea that you protect a minority from a majority is absolutely crucial, essential to the Constitution, and we have the text to prove it, we liberals say. When Republicans see, or I should probably say conservatives, because when you look at Jim Crow laws, and they were Democrats. But when conservatives see a court protecting minorities against the will of the majority, they get really angry. It's like Jim Crow laws. Conservatives would say, look, the majority of people in Alabama, the whites, did not want the blacks to vote. Well, the majority rules democracy. Majority of racist white people, bang, they get to decide whatever they want. How dare the court come in Brown versus Board of Education and say, or in the Civil Rights Act, or in any of the ways that the Voting Rights Act, how dare courts or legislators, frankly, come in and protect minorities? Let the people decide. If the majority of the country doesn't want gay people to marry, then who gives a flying whatever about what gay and lesbian people want? If the majority of people are right-handed and they consign left-handed people to, I don't know, being fired because they're left-handed, well, then that's the right of right-handed people. They are the majority. Let the majority decide. Liberals say, no, that's exactly why we have a constitution. That's exactly why we have a constitution. To protect minorities' basic human rights like voting or marrying or not being fired from a job for reasons unrelated to the job, but because the boss is prejudiced. These are the kinds of things the Constitution should protect. Equal protection under the laws. The last one, job discrimination, actually isn't a constitutional question because, unfortunately, that's not considered a basic right, the right to work. So, therefore, you had to have civil rights acts and other things that basically said you can't fire someone because they're black. You can still fire someone because they're gay in some 22 states. Excuse me, in 28 states in the United States, you can still be fired for your sexual orientation. So we believe that courts should protect minorities. We liberals, believe in legislation to protect people who are poor. People of limited means. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you. That's a liberal idea. This liberal crazy idea that justice should be blind. Of course, there's lots of ancient statues of justice being blind. But the idea with the scale is that it shouldn't be weighted. You shouldn't get justice just because you're rich. If you're rich and have committed a crime, you should go to jail with the same frequency if you're poor if you have committed a crime. That is not the case in America. Rich people can buy justice. Just like rich people can buy politicians. But we liberals don't think it should be that way. We believe in equal justice under the law, which, by the way, is one of the phrases above this Supreme Court building. So when millions of people are allowed to have health insurance so they don't die for being poor, we see that as a celebration. And the courts, the conservatives on the court, see that as a betrayal. Okay. When do liberals get mad? At the Supreme Court. When did I get angry at the Supreme Court most? Mostly, well, Bush v. Gore. I don't think courts should decide who our president is. I think courts can protect minorities who have been discriminated against, but I don't think it's the proper role of courts to determine who our president is. I think we have votes for that. And even if they have to go through the Electoral College, as the Constitution says, nevertheless, I think voters should determine who's elected. And that's why they call us voters. And yet Scalia, who's angrily fulminated against the marriage equality decision, called it, oh my God, these elite justices, these nine people, they're not from the middle of the country. There are no Protestants on the court. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Scalia, you're from New York and you're a Catholic. And I guess you're talking about yourself as much as anybody else. These nine lawyers are determining that gay people are equal under the law. What are they, crazy? No, they've just read the 14th Amendment. Unlike apparently you, Justice Scalia. Injustice Scalia, can we call you? That made him really angry. He called various opinions pure applesauce and jiggery-pokery and all kinds of, you can't use four-letter words, so he used some wrong here, nothing to see here. Scalia sees no democratic problem with that. Now, allowing gay couples to marry just like straight couples then can, that is destructive of our democracy, he said. He fears for our democracy, he said in his dissent. But actually choosing the president against the will of the American people vote for Gore, and Scalia says, I'm throwing away 150 million votes, I choose Bush, and I win. Well, he didn't consider that destructive to our democracy. Now, that's just fine. We will choose your president for you, Antonin Scalia says. That's fair. That's democratic. Five guys in robes. At the time, it was four guys and a woman in robes. We'll choose your president. But don't you dare allow minorities to have equal rights. To which I respond, with respect, Justice Scalia, might you want to read the Constitution? Because the Constitution says we do have equal rights under the law. That's the 14th Amendment. And the Constitution does not allow you in any way, shape, or form, Justice Scalia, to change an election just because you don't like it. Doesn't allow it at all. And now comes this recent decision, this EPA decision. Scalia wants companies to be able to pollute the air and the water. Okay, I get it. You love your pollution. Most Americans don't like pollution, but you love polluted air, polluted water. I get it, Scalia. Because God knows it costs money for companies not to dump their pollutants in the air and the water. We Americans, we liberals, believe the water and the air belongs to all of us. We don't think corporations should be able to take our air away, our water away, without paying for it. But I get it, Scalia. You think the rivers, the oceans, and the air all belong to the various corporations. I get it. But here's the thing. Our Democratic representatives chose otherwise. And they formed this agency called the EPA with a bunch of experts that determined otherwise. And if the people don't like the EPA's ruling, they can elect Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, or any of the panoply of 14 candidates, Donald Trump maybe. They can elect someone who says, support air pollution. We want to destroy lungs. Vote for me, Jeb Bush. People can do that. And when you substitute your judgment for the people, Justice Scalia, aren't you doing exactly what you complain about? So when I read the dissents in the marriage equality decision, I just had to laugh. I just had to laugh. The same Republicans, the same conservatives who said that corporations were people who could buy politicians at will and in unlimited amounts, were complaining about the threat to democracy from letting gay people marry. Really? Really? You allow corporations to, under the table, secretly bribe politicians in the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, probably billions at this point. That's fine by you. It's fine by you to throw away a national vote on the president and pick your own leader. That's just fine. But God forbid two women who've been together 50 years want to get married and be happy. That's a threat to our democracy. I wish I could debate Justice Scalia again. I did it once in law school. It was a privilege and a pleasure. People think he's so smart, but he's the clearest hypocrite I know on the national stage today. And it's very easy to hoist him on his own petard. So, Antonin Scalia, I hereby challenge you to a debate. Kind of like the debate I did in Colorado. It'll be respectful. By the way, you're going to hear that gun debate tomorrow. I want you to hear that at the Western Conservative Summit. But I want to know from you what you think is the proper role of the Supreme Court. Is it to protect minorities, the way liberals say? Or is it to protect polluters, the way conservatives say? What do you think? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So we're still hearing the fallout of the Supreme Court rulings, most of which were pretty good for liberals. Not all of them. I just mentioned the ruling on the EPA, which basically says, we know better than you, EPA, about what the pollution standard should be. And the irony is, sure, as a liberal, I support marriage equality. Sure, as a liberal, I support health insurance for all. Sure, as a liberal, I oppose air pollution. But my views actually, I would argue, track with what I think the Supreme Court is supposed to do. I do think the Supreme Court should try to protect minorities against the will of a majority. I do think the Supreme Court should implement what Congress is trying to do when it passes a law, as long as it doesn't infringe on the right of minorities. That'd be the health care law. And I don't think the Supreme Court should be micromanaging a pollution agency when it decides the pollution standard. That's exactly the kind of thing that should be left to our democracy. So I would argue that my views of the Supreme Court just happen to track where the liberal views are. But I'm curious to see what you think at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to one of my longest standing callers, Dave from Humboldt County, California, line 5. How are you, Dave?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing well, and I hope you. Every once in a while, I'm pleasantly surprised with a ruling from the Supreme Court, and that was certainly the case on marriage equality. I hadn't expected it. But
you know, I predicted both of them, both the Marriage Equality and the Affordable Care Act. You heard me on this show predict them both. I got to take a little credit for that.
I'm glad you were right. What I'm seeing is you're concerned of they have an obligation to protect the minority from the dictatorship of the majority.
But right.
I'm seeing an awful lot, and I have for the last several years, of their role of protecting the small minority, meaning the fraction of 1%, that is this neocon ruling class corporate greed, that they will protect their interests. And I think it goes back to there was a time, I'm sure, and I think you are too, that Al Gore was, in effect, elected president, but the Supreme Court ruled, no, that would be very harmful to George Bush if we were to allow the votes to be counted.
Right.
And so we ended up with George Bush in office, and the harm that that did has been insurmountable. So I'm not going to be quickly a fan of the Supreme Court.
Oh, I'm not asking you to be a fan of the Supreme Court. What I'm really asking is for people to understand that my support of a ruling is not just based on the fact that, I support the liberal ones and I oppose the conservative ones, but really a different vision for what I think a court should do. The minorities to be protected are obviously not the 1%, the richest 1%. They've got more than enough protection. But traditionally persecuted minorities, not just minorities, women aren't a minority. They're half the country, maybe even slightly more than half, but they're a traditionally disfavored group in America. And certainly people based on race or religion or sexual orientation who've been disfavored. Those are the kinds of minorities the court is designed to protect. So definitely not the richest 1%. They have more than enough of their power, and they're not discriminated against, as far as I can tell, in any way, shape, or form. Stay on with me if you like, Dave. I'm going to encourage others to call in as well. Just pick up the phone and dial 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. In the next half hour, I'm going to be playing some of my disagreement with Sean Hannity on this very issue. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Supreme Court rulings and more broadly, how liberals and conservatives view the Supreme Court. Now, Justice Scalia could not have been more angry than when he responded in dissent, an angry dissent, to the marriage equality ruling and also to the ruling upholding, for the second time, the Affordable Care Act. And basically said it was a threat to our democracy. Really strong stuff. But at the end of the day, he had a very different view when it came to doing things like overruling the decision of the American people in Bush v. Gore. Here we are, and I'm looking right here at the dissent by Justice Scalia. Basically, well, I can't get the exact quote I'm looking for, but basically the point was that he basically accused the court of just doing what it wanted to do and not abiding by the Constitution at all. Sean Hannity, when I was on his show, no surprise, basically takes the conservative line, whatever it is, and he was basically saying the Supreme Court was not respecting democracy and asking me as a constitutional lawyer what my views were about the court not respecting democracy. I think he was surprised by my answer. Listen in.
Right.
Mark Levine, look, I would think as a liberal that you are, you wouldn't like, as a constitutional scholar supposedly and a constitutional attorney, I think you would believe in separation of powers, co-equal branches of government, don't you?
Of course.
So if we have nine justices deciding to rewrite the law or not look at the exact text of the law as it was plainly meant, that should be problematic for you.
It is. When they called corporations people, that was problematic. Corporations aren't in the Constitution. When they declared Bush to be president, even though Gore won the Electoral College, that was problematic. That was legislating from the bench.
No, Gore didn't win the Electoral College. Gore did not win the Electoral College. He did not win.
He won Florida.
Every study that came out post-election, even by, you know, great liberal institutions like the New York Times and others, all said that George Bush won the election.
I invite your readers to actually read the studies. Even Matt Drudge admitted Gore won the election if you votes. Now, you're right if you only count some of the
votes.
What's fascinating, first of all, a number of things are fascinating by that brief exchange there. One is just the blatant lie that Sean Hannity is saying. It's amazing, and George Orwell described this in 1984. You repeat a lie enough times, and some people think it's true. There are people who actually believe that the studies that were done in 2001 after the Supreme Court stole the election, that the studies said George Bush won. And that's not what the studies said. The studies said that if you counted all the votes in Florida, Gore won under any standard of counting. If you counted dimple chads, Gore won. If you didn't count dimple chads, Gore won. If you counted hanging chads, Gore won. If you didn't count hanging chads, Gore won. If you counted write-ins, Gore won. If you didn't count write-ins, Gore won. Under any system of counting, as long as you count all the votes. The studies also said, to be fair, that if you didn't count all the votes, if you only counted some of the votes and didn't count other votes that were legally cast, well, then Bush won. Well, that's true in any election. If you only count some of the votes, heck, if you only count some of the votes, Ralph Nader won. Pat Buchanan won. Just don't count in the Bush or Gore votes, and Ralph Nader won. Pat Buchanan won. The Libertarian candidate won. And so Republicans, this study came out right after September 11th, and the New York Times played down the fact, I guess because they worried about us all going to war and being attacked and want to be patriotic. They played down the fact that Gore won if you count all the votes under any standard. They played up the fact that Bush won if you count only some of the votes under some standards, but not count them all. But what possible relevance could that have in a democracy? And furthermore, which is a greater threat to our democracy? Not letting some gay and lesbian couples marry who've lived and loved each other for decades? Or throwing away the people's votes? At the time that court decision was decided, they didn't know how the votes were going to turn out. They stopped the vote count. They said, if you count the votes, you're going to be held in contempt. You're going to jail. You know what I would have done? I would have kept counting. If I'd been in Florida, I would have said, Supreme Court, I'm going to keep counting these votes and throw me in jail for doing it. Wouldn't that have been great? 100 people in America were jailed today. What? For trying to count the votes in a democracy. Supreme Court said no vote counting allowed here. We do not allow votes to be counted in America. That's un-American, Scalia said. And that's what Sean Hannity's defending. And so to see the same conservatives then turn around and say, oh, it's such a threat to our democracy to allow gay people to marry. I think it's a threat to our democracy not allow votes to be counted. And I know who agrees with me, and that's Dave from Humboldt County, because he talks about counting votes and counting, protecting the vote and having paper records. And he and I have been talking about that for more than 10 years now. Dave, the floor is yours.
Thank you for staying up to Hannity, too. His efforts to keep us disinformed are just unforgivable. But I'm remembering back. Well, we're seeing again how terribly important it is who's in the White House when it comes to that Supreme Court. I'm remembering back to Senior Bush when he appointed Clarence Thomas. Mm. So many people thought, well, he's a minority for sure. Yeah. He's going to be interested in protecting the minority interest. Well, I don't think that man has ever voted to protect a vulnerable minority on any issue. And that's so we can get that in the White House. So up here where I live, I've told you, I'm in a very progressive area. And everybody I know is convinced that by now, Bernie Sanders. Yeah, Bernie Sanders is who they want. And everybody thinks if we all vote for him, everybody's wrong that says he can't win. He's too much interested in the plight of the people and not the very rich. Well, that's what a democracy should be electing. And that's... So we're all here very much committed. Bernie Sanders is who we're going to be voting for and sending money to.
And good for you for doing that. I think that in a primary, that is absolutely the time to express your views and support your candidate. And right. if enough people, if enough Democrats vote for Bernie Sanders, then obviously he will win the nomination. But the one thing that I would urge, and you and I have discussed this before, is that should Hillary Clinton win the nomination, and let's face it, she is the most likely to win. Nothing's certain. There's not a single vote's been cast. Bernie Sanders could win. He certainly, you know, theoretically could win. I think most observers would say Hillary Clinton's the one to beat. But if she should win, I would hope, though, that people on the left would recognize that she's, for all her faults, better than Jeb Bush, better than Marco Rubio, better than Scott Walker, better than any of the 14 Republicans, and not do what, unfortunately, some did in 2000 and vote for Ralph Nader and split the liberal vote. And that... we're still paying for that. Not that Gore didn't win. He did win, but he won close enough for the Supreme Court to steal the election. And you got to win by 2 or 3% to prevent that kind of theft the way Obama did. And so that's the main thing. I say vote for whomever you want in the primary, but let's all come together as one liberal Democratic Party when it comes to the fall.
Yes, well, I certainly agree. You're making good sense. I'm afraid, though, that those who have control over these electronic voting, it's in their capacity to flip any number of votes, and they've done it, and you know it, and we know it.
They have done it, but Dave, one thing I would ask you to take note of is that we, and I include you and me in this we who support paper ballots are winning, in the sense, we haven't won yet, the battle's not over yet, but every year, more and more localities, including my home locality, by the way, of Alexandria, Virginia, and now Arlington, Virginia, are switching. When I first moved here, we used electronic ballots. For the last 5 or 10 years now, we've used paper ballots. And so all across the country, jurisdictions are not going in the other direction. There's not a single jurisdiction that I know of in the last decade that has gone from paper ballots to electronic voting. There's still too many that have electronic voting. I agree with you. But I just want to make clear, because I don't want people to feel that it's hopeless. We are slowly moving the bar, and more counties nationwide every year go to paper ballots until the ultimate goal that you and I both have, Dave, of having every single county and city in the United States having paper ballots.
Right. If the people are overwhelmingly for the Democrat, or at least for the candidate who speaks for the people, then, what happens is that if they're going to have to give us a Democrat, they find one that they can do business with who will play ball. And that's unfortunate. Maybe, they're nowhere near as bad as some of the Republicans, but that willing to yield, if the party takes a payoff from big corporate special interests, they're a part of that party. And so I'd like to see somebody, a Bernie, somebody that's going to say, I'm not taking your money like you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to represent the people, and that's what I'm here for. And I don't hear that as strongly as I'd like to from Hillary or most Democrats everywhere.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. And I think maybe the best person to carry that value today is Elizabeth Warren. Of course, she's not running for president right now, but I do expect her to run in 8 years or four if we lose this year, next year. Bernie Sanders, though, and I love Bernie, and I've met Bernie, and there's no question in my mind that he's genuine and he truly believes what he says, and that's another reason why I have tremendous respect for him. Bernie Sanders, of course, is a self-proclaimed socialist. And as much as I respect that and respect him and appreciate all the income inequality issues that he brings up, and I'm glad he's in our party, I have to tell you, Dave, and you and I are probably going to disagree on this, I think that the fact that he says he's a socialist means that he's going to have a real trouble winning a general election. I just don't see it. As much as I love the man and I'm glad he's there, I do think that's too uphill a battle for America in 2016. I just do.
Yeah, well, he said he's a democratic socialist, and so right. am I. I think that word's been tarnished so badly, but they're the people that say, we need sidewalks, we need hospitals, we need health care. That's what the democratic socialists are about.
Yeah, my own personal view is I don't call myself a socialist. I say I believe in a mixture of socialism and capitalism. I'm not a pure socialist. I certainly don't believe that, no matter how hard you work, we should all be rewarded the same. I do think that we need some capitalism. I do believe in a meritocracy. You can call me a meritocrat is really what I am. I'm definitely a socialist in the sense of I think there should be minimums beyond which no one should fall. Everyone should be able to get food, shelter, health care, education, basic things like that. But, I'm not willing to say we should all be paid the same, no matter, the person.
And that either. He doesn't say that either.
Well, maybe we should. You know what? If he'd come on my show, I'd be honored, and I would certainly be pleased to have him on. I don't really know. I don't know how far he'd go. In some sense, it doesn't matter because he obviously is to the left of where we are now, and so the direction he would push us in is a good one. We might disagree on how far to go, and that's it's a dangerous term to use. Unless in context, like the way I use it, to say I am part socialist and part capitalist. When you say you're a socialist, there's an implication that you think all capitalism is bad. And I don't know that he would say that, but I think he should make clear that he doesn't believe all capitalism is bad. Otherwise, I'm afraid he marginalizes himself.
Well, thank you for allowing me the time that you have. You've been very generous, and I do truly see him as our best hope right now.
I hear you. I hear you. And in terms of time, Dave, just so you know, and any caller will know, if there's a bunch of callers in line, I tend to cut people off more because I want to get to those callers. But today, maybe because it's July 4th week, we haven't had that many callers, so I'm free to give you a lot of time. And I do always appreciate when you call, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
So when I come back, I'm going to play more of my exchange with Sean Hannity and invite you to call in, too. As I said with Dave, we don't have a lot of callers today. So here's your chance to call in and add your 2 cents. Let me say this. If you're here from the Western Conservative Summit, I want to apologize. John Andrews was going to be on air today, but something came up. He will be on the show in a week or two. We are going to bring him back. I do believe in bringing conservatives on the air, not just liberals. And if you want to call in and challenge anything I said, I would welcome it. Just dial in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Supreme Court and its rulings and what you think of them and what you think the proper role of the Supreme Court should be. I want to play a little bit more from my discussion with Sean Hannity, and I'm going to play that right now.
I'm going to legislate from the bench. And then in the gay marriage case, he complained about legislating from the bench. Well, you can't have it both ways. Either judges are judges or judges are legislators. Take your pick.
Mark?
Well, it certainly wasn't legislating from the bench. The 14th Amendment, which trumps the 10th Amendment, says that every person has equal protection under the laws. And unless you feel like the Supreme Court couldn't have overturned, for example, segregated schools, any time you have a minority that's mistreated by a majority, that's precisely when you need court.
All right, let's take this a step. Let's take this a step further. Now, the Texas Attorney General has weighed in. He believes that clerks can refuse same-sex marriage, and I think an even more important point is, you know, what about the First Amendment and the freedom of religion and the free practice thereof of churches? Because you had a law professor from Illinois over the weekend, Robin Fretwell Wilson, outlining several scenarios where he says churches and synagogues and mosques could be forced to participate and perform gay marriage.
Not true. Not true.
Oh, not true? So you would so you would say the right of churches to practice their religion freely, even if you would, quote, view it as discriminatory, that's acceptable to you?
Absolutely. Listen, they have churches that don't allow non-Catholics to marry. There's synagogues that don't allow non-Jews to marry. Churches, synagogues, and mosques have been defining religious marriage for all of our history. But civil marriage has to be done equally under the law. That's what the 14th Amendment says.
Ovek, what do you think? Because I actually believe that this is going to come to a head at some point down the road. In his dissent, Clarence Thomas warned about this coming on as an important issue in the future. I think it probably will be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, I think Clarence Thomas and you are correct, which is to say that if not conducting gay marriages is a violation of the 14th Amendment, churches aren't allowed to discriminate on race, on gender. Although
sure
I guess you know they can in terms of the priesthood,
of
but they can't.
So that was Ovek, who was the conservative guest that Sean Hannity on. Sean Hannity always has two against one, a conservative and himself against the liberal. Me, I don't know if you heard me in the background. I said, sure they can, sure they can. So this is a straw man. This is a red herring. This is trying to get religious conservatives all scared and upset. But absolutely, churches and synagogues and mosques and Buddhist temples and all religious institutions can marry whomever they want. Because as we have long argued, there's a difference between religious marriage and civil marriage. There's a huge difference between what churches do and what the state does. That's one of the reasons we call it separation of church and state. You see, churches can define the religious rites, R-I-T-E-S, however they want. As I pointed out, churches can decide we're only going to marry Catholics. Or synagogues can say we're only going to marry Jews. Or they can say we're only going to marry you too if you raise the kids Catholic. Or Muslims can only marry Sunni or Shia, whatever the person marrying wants. If they don't want to marry gay people, they don't have to. Although I should note that many churches and synagogues do marry gay and lesbian couples. Look at it this way. You can discriminate against women in the Catholic Church. There are no female priests. And no one challenges their right to do that. This is actually the heart of an argument I personally had with Justice Scalia when I was at Yale Law School. No one challenges their right to do that. Chill, relax. Religions can practice whatever they want. The thing they can't do is change the law for people who don't share that religion. The Catholic Church can't require non-Catholic priests. They can't require rabbis to not be female. They can't require Protestants to marry, to bring kids up in the Catholic faith. And they can't require gay non-Catholics not to get married. The church controls what the church does. The state controls what the state does. That's the essence of the First Amendment. It's what keeps us free. This is Mark Levine. Tune in tomorrow for my big gun debate.